You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome everyone to this Tuesday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is June 18th, and after last night we have a new NBA champion, and I know that's going to be a majority of what we talk about today, so let's jump right into it. So we had Game 5 of the Finals last night, and Boston came into this one leading the series 3-1 with a chance to close it out at home, and that is exactly what they did, blowing out the Mavs 106-88 to win their 18th championship in their franchise history, breaking a tie with the Lakers for the most all time. And coming into this one, I thought Dallas might continue to show some life after they blew out the Celtics in Game 4. But this one was pretty much over early. Dallas was only down one towards the end of the first, but then the Celtics went on a 9-0 run to end the quarter, and they never really looked back from there. Peyton Pritchard hit another half-court buzzer beater to end the first half, giving Boston a 21-point lead that they would grow to 26 later in the third, and it never got much closer than that as Tatum and Brown continued to score down the stretch, and Dallas just couldn't get it close enough to have a real chance. Luka played all right in this one. He finished with 28-12-5. While Kyrie struggled again, he had just 15 points on 5-for-16 shooting. And the rest of the starters combined for just 20 points as well. And then no one was really relevant off the bench on a night where we knew they were going to need some help. Over on the Celtics side, Jrue Holiday and Derek White, they were both great. They scored 15 and 14 respectively, and they also combined for 19 rebounds and 5 assists, and they were both menaces on the defensive end all night long. And then Tatum had arguably his best game of the series. He finished with 31 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. And Jaylen Brown finished with 21-8-6, while also securing Finals MVP in the process. For the series, Brown averaged 21-5-5 on 44% shooting, and you probably could have made a case for Tatum since he averaged 22-7-7, but he just wasn't as consistent throughout the series, and he shot under 39% from the field, so I think Brown was definitely deserving of this one. But Finals MVP is one of the last accolades that still kind of eludes Tatum at this point. I'm sure he'll still have plenty of chances. The East is still pretty weak, and this Celtics team returns essentially everyone next year. He's still only 26, and at this point in his career, he already has a championship. He has 5 All-Star appearances, 4 All-NBA selections, an Eastern Conference Finals MVP, an All-Star Game MVP. And when you start to look at him in some of these playoff, you know, lists in terms of all-time scoring and things like that, he's already 41st on that list, so he has more career playoff points than guys like Bill Russell, Kevin Garnett, John Stockton, and Paul George, just to name a few of them. And he's just behind guys like Ray Allen, Patrick Ewing, and Robert Parrish, and he's only in his mid-20s, so I'm sure he will continue to shoot up that list in the coming years. But speaking of the overall team, as I mentioned, they return just about everyone notable, and their other star, Jaylen Brown, he's only 27, and his accolades are very similar to Tatum's at this point, plus he has that Finals MVP. But I will say, all I can think about with this team is that trade that they made with Brooklyn back in 2013. So Boston unloaded their aging stars, which were Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry. And Ray Allen was already gone at that point. He had gone to Miami. But they got rid of those other guys for a group of players from the Nets, plus a bunch of draft picks and pick swaps. And the older guys never really panned out for Brooklyn, but two of those picks for the Celtics ended up being Jaylen Brown and then Jason Tatum, and that helped them solidify the foundation for this current championship team. But we do have to give some credit as well to the Celtics front office, because, you know, just because they had the picks didn't mean that they were guaranteed to make the right decisions or that any of those players were guaranteed to be stars. But Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens put them in a great position to succeed, you know, especially now and for the future still with this roster. So I also think they deserve some credit for sticking with Joe Mazzulla. You know, he was under a lot of criticism last year, but I thought he was great down the stretch this year, and at age 35, he became the youngest coach since Bill Russell to lead a team to a championship. I was also thinking about the Celtics team and where they sit all time. You know, I mentioned them in an episode last week as kind of a middle of the pack champion over the past decade or so. And I think I'm actually pretty comfortable keeping them there in terms of the last decade. You know, they're so deep and they did nothing but win all season, but they also just weren't really challenged enough in my eyes in the postseason. They played teams with a ton of injuries, and I never felt like the Mavs were true contenders coming out of the West. I think they could be in a year or two, but I think they're just a little bit early. So all in all, I'm fine keeping them in that 4-6 range over the past decade. I don't think anyone was going to beat the 2017 or the 2018 Warriors, and I think that 2016 Cavs team was also an all-time great team. I don't think they probably beat the bubble Lakers, but that's where we can start to have the conversation. So, you know, I think those are, at least those top three teams are all-time great. So, you know, I think the Celtics team is still generationally awesome. But in terms of the last decade, I think they're probably somewhere in that range still. But looking ahead to next year, you know, the Celtics are already huge early favorites. Like I said, since they returned pretty much everyone, and the East still doesn't look too daunting. But the Mavs should be pretty legit next year as well. You know, Luka is definitely in his prime, coming into his own, and they return just about everyone else relevant as well, with the exception of Derek Jones Jr., who was, you know, really solid for them also this season. But I'm already excited for next season. We should have an entertaining offseason as well, between the draft and a lot of storylines there. We'll see where Bronny ends up. And then we also have a lot of big name free agents, or at least some potential free agents. If guys like LeBron and Paul George opt out of the final years of their deals, and then we'll have guys like Klay Thompson and James Harden as well. So we'll follow those storylines in the coming months. But in other news from around the sporting world, Anthony Rizzo is going to miss 4-6 weeks after fracturing his right arm in a collision at first base in their game against the Red Sox on Sunday night. Mookie Betts is going to miss 6-8 weeks after breaking his hand on a hit-by-pitch on Sunday against the Royals. Rory came out with a statement, you know, kind of applauding Bryson after his quick departure from the U.S. Open. But he also mentioned that he's going to take some time off before the British Open. And then Katie Ledecky won the 200 and the 400-meter freestyle events at the U.S. Olympic swim trials yesterday. But with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Tuesday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider subscribing and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.